limited application of that to hospitality this morning. And before I do that, let me make sure this is, Richard didn't turn it off or anything. I need to make a correction from last week. Something was pointed out to me. I try very hard not to bring politics into the pulpit, and I don't think I fully did that, but I got snuck up close to it last week. And it's not that I don't have opinions, but I don't think the pulpit's a place for politics. I believe that's offline. I think this is a place for God's word to be shared and not political opinions. What I said, and this is almost a quote, I was talking about persecution, and I said it's taking place in the United States today. And I said the publicly stated goal of Muslim leaders is to make the USA Muslim. These are not people in foreign countries saying this, but congressional leaders with this goal. And that's only partly true. The part I need to correct is congressional leaders having stated this goal, referring to Muslim congressional leaders. The source that I received that information was on C-SPAN. It was the founder of the North American Council for Muslim Women. And her quote was, "Our final objective is to create our own Islamic systems, making all of America Muslim." My point, though, was not who said what, but that persecution of Christians is worldwide, and it's here in America also. And that it is most violent in Islamic countries, dictatorial countries, and communist countries. And the closer that we move to those, and there's people in America who are moving us toward each of those, they're in opposition to each other, but they're moving us toward each one of those, we will experience violent persecution as we go into those areas. And that was my point, and if I crossed a line, I apologize. Our scripture today, talking about hospitality, though, is this one, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." And our scripture is taken from the same context that we spoke about last week, where this is Hebrews 13, 2, and we looked at Hebrews 13, 3 last week. You know, there's some places in the world that I've been. I've been only one time, but in my memory, it's like going home. They're beautiful memories, and they were created by the people that hosted me. I often go to these places in my mind, and I feel at home in these places. And all of you can say the same thing. I was in Dunedin, New Zealand. And we stayed, I could spend half an hour just talking about this one place. On the side of a mountain, literally, overlooking the Bay of Dunedin. And the boats would come in at night, and you see the ships coming in, and there's a couple that hosted us there. And I remember when we went to bed, and it was in the wintertime in New Zealand, it's not a warm place. And at the foot of my bed, under the covers, was hot water bottles. You ever slept with a hot water bottle? I know if you're old, you probably have. But they had no heat in the house but the hot water bottle under the covers. And going down to Invercargill later, the family that hosted us said, "You sleep in." We stayed up late. "You sleep in, and we have to leave early in the morning, like before 6. But there'll be breakfast for you." And we had breakfast there, and they just said, "Shut the door when you leave, and it'll lock by itself." And we had homemade yogurt in that home. And I think about going out to an isolated village, Naveri, in Fiji, and sleeping on the floor with a group of men. We're in a small room, but there was a group of us there, and we slept on the floor together. And my bathtub was a river. I had to walk through a little area. One of my hosts, there was a big area where we took baths, but one of my hosts came to me one afternoon and said, "Let me show you something." And he brought me to another part of the river. And he said, "This is a better place to bathe." And there was a coconut tree that fell across, that had fallen across the river, and I could set up my shaving gear on that. And I could still remember floating in that water and looking up in the heavens and seeing the beauty around me. Home. And I thought, what would it be like to live here? And there's so many more. I could tell you story after story of the people who made those places home, the hospitality that took place there. You know, hospitality begins in the household of God. If you look at the word hospitality all through the scripture, it's the New Testament telling Christians how we are to treat one another. It's not so much being hospitable to outsiders, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but it begins in the household of God. And we'll look at a couple of scriptures quickly. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. In other words, he's saying this is one of those one another scriptures, how we're to offer hospitality to one another. It's a characteristic of the elders or the shepherds. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1:8, it has this list of positive characteristics, and right at the beginning of that list of positive characteristics of the elders or the shepherds is you must be hospitable. And widows were placed on a list that the church would help them, and it was saying here's what you have to look at when you're looking at people who need to be on this list. And it says widows of a certain age, gives their age, and he says, and they had to be hospitable people before they could even be on this list. In the context of the scripture, it's saying Christians need to take care of each other. And you look at this passage and say, well, it says strangers there. And the stranger there isn't talking about strangers in the world. It's talking about the traveling Christians. As the Christians came traveling through to escape persecution, some needed, who were teaching at church to church, and they needed a place to stay. And it said, oh, you know, entertain these people. Bring them into your home. Be hospitable to them. The inns of the first century were not like our inns and motels today. They were not good places to stay. They're often dirty and dangerous. And so he said, don't make your Christian brothers and sisters that you don't know stay in the inn where they could be hurt or harmed, but bring them into your homes. And it's in this context of keep on loving one another as brothers in verse 1 that's followed by, so entertain those brothers who are strangers, and that's how you show brotherly love to one another. But it doesn't stop there. It extends beyond the household of God. Although love begins at home, it doesn't exclude others. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So it starts with the family of believers, but it extends to everyone. The whole meaning of hospitality, and this one of the things that Richard said that tie in with this, it's the character of your life. It's not just an isolated moment. We think of hospitality of, I did a certain thing. I brought someone into my home. I was hospitable at that time in my life, but this is a quality of life. This is a trait. It's more of who a person is than what he does. Amen. So this character of hospitality is evident to anyone. It's evident to everyone. Hospitality isn't reserved just to fellow Christians, but it's to those who are outside the family of God also. And so hospitality, though, does begin in our homes. I like to stress this. I could spend a whole lesson on it, but I'm not going to. It begins, or it should begin, in the home. In the first century, the home was the center of social life. And there were other places. You go to the marketplace, that's a social place, the synagogue, the public baths, the amphitheaters. There were a place called the Bulletarian where they would have music, or the city civic center where everyone came together and talked about the civic things that were going on. All those were centers of hospitality, but the home was the epicenter of hospitality. It began by when the church even met at homes. I mean, it was part of the culture of the day, but the churches showed this as they met in one another's home. Philemon said, Paul is talking to Philemon, he says, the church that meets in your house. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, I am looking forward to meeting this couple. There's lots of people I want to meet in heaven, but this is one of them, Aquila and Priscilla. I have a lot of thoughts about them and wondering what they were like. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the house, the church that met in their home. They opened up their home to the church. And in my own personal life, some of my favorite memories, some of my fondest memories, are when the church met in our house. When we were in Fiji, we started a little house church there. It grew to about 70 people. We'd take the furniture out every Sunday. We didn't have a lot of furniture, but we took it out of the room every Sunday so everyone could fill up that room, literally filled up the whole room. And at one point, I counted over 200 people that came through our home every week. You know, something special happens in homes. Something special happens when you open up your home to other people. And it happens when you eat together. There's so many positive things that happen when you eat together. Acts chapter 2, verse 26 says, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I think that's talking about literal meals, which develop into the love feast of later times, where they just came together and ate. And in our house church, I've shared with you about stone soup. I won't go into detail about every week. Everyone would bring something. And we'd put it into a big pot. And then as the church grew, we had to put it into two pots. And we'd just share whatever you brought together. We learn lessons when we're together like that. One Sunday, the only thing that was there was the chicken. Julia boiled some chicken bones. And so we had some chicken broth. And everyone that particular Sunday decided, I'm not going to bring anything. I'll just depend on everyone else. And she came to me and said, after everyone got in, she says, no one brought anything. And I was like, oh, why don't we get something out of the refrigerator and get something and put it in? And she said, no, let's just offer what everyone has here. And everyone came and they looked and saw there was nothing in the pot but greasy water, greasy chicken water. And suddenly everyone had a reason not to stay for lunch. But the next Sunday, I used that as an opportunity to teach how every person is important. Every person. Your little handful of carrots is important. Your little handful of bhaji is important. All these things put together make a soup. Okay. But when everyone else relies on everyone else and doesn't do their part, then all you're going to have is greasy chicken water. Eating together, we have conversations, we get to know one another, good and bad things of life are shared. You're connected to those that you eat with. A friendship is established. And it's more than a meal. I mean, restaurants are good places to take people, but something deeper happens when you're in someone's homes. The people that I'm closest to are the people that have been in my home and I've been in their homes. And I have memories of being around tables and in sitting in living rooms with people, and there's a bonding that happens when you're in someone's house. You nurture them physically with food, socially with companionship, psychologically with this connectiveness, spiritually with Christ. And I've said this before, if there's one thing I can encourage us all to do better, it'd be this one thing: open your home to other people. If there's one thing, it wouldn't be to learn how to teach the gospel, because you will learn how to teach the gospel when you open your home. It's not looking for ways to serve outside. You will find ways to serve outside if we open our homes to one another. You cannot open your home without opening your heart. And hospitality extends even beyond the home. Yeah, maybe it starts there, and maybe if that was a little guilt trip for you or something, you know, just hold on. Don't feel too bad, because it goes beyond the home. I know that. It's more than just having someone in your house. It's a lifestyle. It's the character of your life. It's a character trait. You don't have to be invited into someone's home to know they have the character of hospitality. You know that yourself. When you look around and see people that you've never been in their home, you know they're hospitable by the way they act. Hospitality means listening. You know, we're in a world where people just need to be listened to. They have no one to talk to. The world is filled with people who need to be listened to. There's a song from 1966 For some of you, that's that, you know, you've heard that's a wonderful time of, you know, and nothing bad was going on way back in those dark ages. You know, you always hear that with older people, that things were better back then. But listen to these words, and some of you will know where it comes from. Look at all the lonely people. Look at all the lonely people. Anyone know it?
Yes.
Eleanor Rigby. Picks up rice in the church where a wedding has been, lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she has kept in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
All the lonely
people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father McKenzie, write in the words of a sermon that no one will hear. My name isn't McKenzie. No one comes near. Look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. Father McKenzie wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? We live in a world of lonely people. And hospitality just means listening to some of these lonely people that just need someone. I read a study that said if you listen to someone, it negates much of the counseling that will later be needed. Sometimes people just need to be listened to and heard and just shared with, and their problems go away.
Amen.
Especially when we share about Christ in those times. Hospitality means caring. This is the compassion. If you're with someone who doesn't care, they're not hospitable. You can be in their home and they don't care, they're not hospitable. Hospitality can be shown in lots of ways. And Richard said lots of things are happening, and I know some of these things are happening. Babysitting. I know of people who have watched children free, checking on people who are sick through cards and texts and calls, visits. Lots of ways to show how you care. Hospitality means caring. Hospitality is shown in helping others. It's just having this awareness of needs of other people, giving people rides. I know that's happened. I've known people who here in this congregation who have helped others prepare a resume, taught them how to interview for a job. This is part of hospitality. Teaching them a skill, helping with advice on raising children, improving their marriage, cutting people's grass. I know some who have gone out this summer and cut other people's grass free to help them because that was the need. So hospitality is shown in helping others. And hospitality does not expect rewards.
Right.
Does not expect you to the favor of being returned. We looked at the passage a couple of weeks ago in Luke chapter 14. It says, if you invite those who invited you, you've received your reward. We're not talking about that. We're talking about helping people in need regardless of the reward. I was blessed being raised in a hospitable home. And I realized that some of you here did not have that example. And I realized that I was blessed by having that example. And so, if you didn't have the example, it might take a bit more courage for you to jump into the water and open your home to people because you have a lot of fear in doing that. My memories growing up were largely centered around other people being in our house. I mean, when I think of home, there was always people in our house. Very young, I remember people singing late at night. My parents, other people were in the living room singing hymns. My dad built a huge round table out of packing crates in Fiji. I mean, this table was huge. I think it could fit 12, 15, 20, I don't know, a lot of people around. It was so big that you couldn't reach across it. So he built a Lazy Susan. So he put the food on the Lazy Susan and he turned that around, which was a lot of fun as a child, you know. Spin that thing fast sometimes. Church meeting in our home in North Dakota It was never unusual to have people stay for dinner, whatever, not just on Sundays, but I could bring friends home and they'd eat with us, stay the night. My dad had a saying, there's always room for one more.
Come on.
Ooh, it got crowded sometimes though. It really did. Sometimes I wonder where we're going to squeeze that one more person in. Mom always cooked a little extra for the Sunday meal so she could invite people over. Always be prepared to have someone over. Conversations, Bible studies, serious discussion, jokes, laughter, thoughtful moments, wisdom, insights, playfulness, respect, sorrow, problems, help, love, were all shared around that table and in the living room with one another. This word hospitality is the closest biblical word that we can come to translate friendly. Friend of those who are Christians we know, friend of those that we don't know. And it's not a surface friendly. Over in chapter 11, verse 19, Jesus is talking about himself and he says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. He says, but just look at my life. I might be friends of tax collectors and sinners, and you might think I'm a drunkard and a glutton, but just look at my life, is what Jesus is saying. And it's not being surface friendly. I think it's the difference between being a friendly person and being a friend. We can be friendly. It's very surface. How are you doing? Fine, thank you. Good. And then you walk away from each other. And you're very friendly, but you weren't a friend at that time. Friendly with a purpose. You have a purpose to glorify God, to walk as Jesus walked. And so that's what I see hospitality is all about. It's more of a lifestyle than an event. Hospitality is given cheerfully. The Bible says in 1 Peter, if grumbling is involved, it's not hospitality. Hospitality helps others feel comfortable. It's not, I'm a better person, you know, serving you and making, you know, the host looking down on the lesser person. But there's meekness involved where you're hosting people and you're serving these people. Mm-hmm. And you make people feel comfortable. Hospitality is generous. We've been blessed greatly, so we bless others after what God has done for us. It's generous. And hospitality is centered in the one that you love. There's a word, I won't go into the words, but there's a word that means lover of God. And over in 1 Timothy it says, are you a lover of pleasure or are you a lover of God? And if we're a lover of God, we're going to do God things. We're going to be a lover of our brothers and sisters. And we're going to be a lover of the strangers. We're going to be hospitable people. Let me make this one suggestion and then we'll close. If you're afraid of opening your home, if you're like me, I don't know what I'm going to say. A lot of times you have someone in your home, I don't know what to say sometimes. Invite someone to be hospitable with you who can talk. If I don't know who to invite, I call my mama. And I call my sister. They'll talk. You can always find another Christian to say, you know, I'm not sure exactly how to do this. I don't know how to open my home. Find someone that does. There's a lot of people here that do. Amen. And let them come with you. And then just invite. There's so many needs here. I'm just looking out. My mind's going in all the different ways I can go. And it's just, I don't have time to talk about it. But there's people in our assembly here today that need you to reach out to them. Bring them into your fellowship, whatever that is. If it's in your home, that's a great place. If it's in another location, that's great too. But open your heart, open your ears, open your homes to the people around you. Let's be people who are hospitable. Our elders are going to come forward as we sing a song here.